You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's up, everybody? This is Raised in the Woods. My name's Joel Clayfish. Sitting alongside of me today is Sarah Morenas, filling in for Ellie Lawton. Sarah, it is great to have you here. Now, do not be fooled. Sarah is an international superstar who voices cartoon characters across the United States and Great Britain. But we are lucky enough to have her on the show with us today.
That's right, Joel. I can do any accent you need me to do. If the check clears, I'll do it.
Well, it's great to have you filling in this week. And I'm really excited because Sarah is somewhat of a homesteader. I was going to say home wrecker.
Yeah, big difference. Let's clear that up right now. Big difference.
Let's get right off the bat home. She's a homesteader.
Happy marriage, just one man.
We don't know if she's a home wrecker. Yeah. We'll see if the cooking segment today has pineapples in it. And if you get that joke, you're listening to the
but
right
I
show,
am
everybody.
Drinking pineapple juice. You're
drinking pineapple juice. That's all right.
And that's not. Right. That's not a lie.
Well, hey, how does it feel? You're in the hot seat this week. You're the fill-in co-host of the show, Sarah.
I love it. I can represent the ladies with Lee.
That's perfect. I'm telling you what, I'm excited because Mike Kretschmer is here. Mike, meat man Mike from Nye's Meats. He's joining us to talk about everything in the great outdoors and the wild outdoors. I'm excited about today's show. We've got special interviews coming that were obtained during the week. We're going to talk about the outdoors, what's in store in the future in the Midwest. If this is your first time to Raised in the Woods and you're a loyal Raised in Wisco follower, we are now Raised in the Woods. We've expanded into the states of Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa, which is incredibly exciting. Excited to have you here, Mike. And we've got Lynn Morris.
All right.
Lynn Morris, one of the culinary coordinators for the Fort Atkinson School District in the great state of Wisconsin. And she's chiming in today just because we thought it'd be fun to put her in the hot seat. Hey, Lynn, how are you doing? Is this your first time on the radio?
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
I'm excited to be in this room instead of the room next door where I usually sit on when we record this.
Cool. It's great to have you here. And Lynn is the head master of the cheerleading color guard at Fort Atkinson High School. I know that's going to make its way into some stories. But I'm really excited today because Sarah Morenas, who's bringing us homesteader tips every week, which are not just for specific homesteaders, but for folks who might be curious about how to homestead and some things anybody can do to make, usually, I'm going to say most of it's culinary stuff, right? Most of it has to do with food. Yeah, and today that's what we're going to be talking about. Yeah. I don't want to give it away yet.
We'll keep our wild of the week first.
I'm excited to say my wild of the week took place in Wisconsin. I went to the All Canada show, and I was blown away at how many things there are to do with our neighbors to the north. And any one of the states listening to Raised in the Woods has fairly easy and not all that long of a drive access to Canada.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Mike, are you a Canada guy? Have you been there before?
Oh, a handful.
I'm just kidding.
Handful of times. I think you were with me.
I've been there with you. Now, I want to.
You just weren't memorable. Was that you?
Filling in for Ellie. Look at that. Right away.
Well, right. She's going after the men right away. Yeah. We're used to that. That's just fine. Yeah, I had one of the most awesome trips of my life with Mike Kretschmer to Canada, where I was able to harvest a black bear with my bow.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say bear hands.
With my bear. That would
I heard, but I was like, wow.
You know what bears call their bear hands?
Just hands.
But I'm pumped. There's the dad joke.
Mark it down. Jacob is in the studio marking down dad jokes for us. Did you have a good week, Jacob?
I did have a good week, Joel, but I think the story is pretty evident that you couldn't have used your bear hands until after you harvested the bear and gained a pair of bear hands, right? I mean, now you could go out and hunt with your bear hands, I think.
This may be the first time, but Jacob, mark yourself down for a dad joke.
I'm going to demerit myself, actually.
I think that's more appropriate. Mike, what's your favorite thing about Canada?
The pristine wilderness. It is just the rocky shorelines, the shore lunches, the nobody around. The fishing is incredible. You can grouse hunt, you can moose hunt, you can bear hunt. Even whitetail hunting up there is pretty darn, I mean, it's vast, but they kill a lot of big deer up there in Saskatchewan, Ontario even.
I love the accents. Saskatchewan, they call it.
Yeah.
Over in Saskatchewan. It's almost like a Midwest accent with a tweak to it. Mm-hmm. And I just get the biggest kick out of that. I had such an awesome time. And I remember when Mike and I were trying to go through the border, Mike was detained at the border for a little while. And we all looked back and all of a sudden he was in the consulate office in his skivvies. We had no idea what was going on.
Whatever. You're so full of it.
No, it was actually very easy to get across the border. And I remember we brought firearms on our way to Canada. Mm-hmm. Sarah, you haven't been to Canada, have you?
I have not. Just my dad and brother. They go every summer.
Fishing? Really? Where do they go?
I'm going to butcher it, but Maynard.
Oh, Maynard.
Yeah, Maynard Lake Lodge.
Maynard Lake Lodge.
Yes. I believe it is.
Yeah.
I've heard of it before.
So that my dad goes with a bunch of his buddies, and then my brother texted me, Winnipeg River.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah, that whole Lake of the Woods area is fantastic. And don't get me wrong, in the Midwest, we have literally the best and biggest lakes and waters in the entire United States. But it is neat to get to Canada. And that's my wild of the week. Mike Kretschmer, what did you do outdoors this past week?
I was indoors a lot. It's cold. It's still cold. But after this show, I am on a plane to Mexico.
South of the
border.
Yeah, south of the border.
Where are you going?
Riviera Maya, just south of Riviera Maya.
Are you going to examine any of the Mayan temples there?
Yeah, we might do that one day, but we are deep sea fishing one day, and it's the first time just the wife and I are going away without the kids in 12 years. So we're gonna swim up bars and beaches, and you know. Yes, tan the fat.
In the true Mayan tradition, you're going to be at swim-up bars and beaches.
Right.
Hey, you know, I love, if you're new to the show, you'll learn this about me. If you watch us on Facebook, which I would highly recommend because we are as funny looking as we are funny sounding.
Speak for yourself.
Okay. I will.
I have a face for radio.
Touché, Sarah Morenas.
The space is TV and radio ready.
I did not know you did. That's kind of interesting that you do voiceover.
I don't. Oh. We're full of it.
Joel, come on, guys.
We're just good liars.
Jeez Louise, here we go.
Do you want to be my first client?
Yeah, I'm not paying you.
She certainly has a voice that sounds like she could, though,
you
doesn't
You played
it?
That one just to a T. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
It is interesting. If you could be a cartoon character, what would you fashion yourself to be? What would you fancy yourself?
A frog in the Midwest.
A frog in the Midwest.
Yeah. How's that going now?
can you work on that so we can hear what a frog in the Midwest would sound like?
In the middle.
Would it be Kermit the Frog?
No. Classier and cooler.
Much classier and cooler.
Penny the Frog, who loves to host little parties for her friends, then we can all decorate our little lily pads, or it could be stringing up the lights and having a night party. It could be something during the day and we could have a little tea party.
What? I am fun in stuff. I'm sold.
Yes,
let's go,
right?
Lynn's in on Penny's
Lynn's like, I'll be
the
a frog for that
lily pad party. I think
lily
we should
pad party.
Have
frog legs.
I think we should have frog legs before that show, and we should have the frog gigging outfitter.
Oh, that's right.
On the show.
Guys, I am writing a children's book right now. So after I finish that, I will write a book.
Well, I think that's fantastic. I think you should voice the book as Penny the Frog then.
I will.
Yes. If you're watching on Facebook, you'll see that Sarah's voice
is going to be Francis the Frog.
Francis
the
Frog.
That's my grandma's name.
Penny, but Penny's your alter ego then.
It could be today.
Okay.
It could change.
I'll buy that. That's not horrible. Well, and if you know what frog gigging is, that is actually harvesting frogs to eat frog legs, which is legal in the Midwest.
Our area. We're protected.
None of the frogs.
We'll booby trap the humans so they leave us alone.
And I'm going to be the big mouth Billy Bass, you know?
Yeah. I remember Billy Bass.
That thing on the wall?
Yeah.
You hit him? Yeah, you don't have one of those still?
I had one of those, and then they made a white-tailed deer version of it, too. But
in fact, everything on Joel's wall here dances if you press the right button. He doesn't like to do night too in the much
museum. You know, well, then it should be dancing all the time because these guys are constantly pressing my buttons. Jacob.
Fair.
So, Lynn Morris, did you get out this week? Do you have a wild of the week?
I did not get out, but I'm going to shout out the color guard I'm working with right now. We started a new winter color guard program that's indoors that we'll perform at basketball games, and my students are doing so good, and I'm stoked about that.
That's awesome. Shout out to the Fort Atkinson Color Guard. How about that? Where do you get shout outs to local high schools on a regional radio show that's broadcast around the world? Come on.
That's pretty impressive.
That's pretty cool. Sarah Morenas, what's your wild of the week?
We had big plans to go snowshoeing, but instead we've been to Children's Hospital and the vet. My oldest son Wyatt broke his knee, and my dog got snipped at the clippers and it got infected. So now he's bald, infected, and we got to...
Wait a minute. Your son's bald and infected?
No. My son has a broken knee. Willie the dog is bald and infected.
Well, I hope your son has a broken knee.
Yes.
So that's pretty dicey. There are a lot of bones in the knee.
He got the right. He'll be fine.
He'll be fine. Yeah, he's going to just rub some butter on it.
They're made of rubber. Shake it off. It's just a little chip of bone that...
Boy, that was kind of a rough wild of the week there for the Morenas family.
Yeah, we looked out the window.
What?
Enjoying nature. We looked out the window.
Oh, you looked out the window. I was picturing the bald dog hanging out of the window.
My son Ethan licked a pole at school on Thursday.
Oh,
really? Yes,
and he knows better.
That's a straight out of a Christmas story.
And he's seen that movie.
Are you kidding me? Did his tongue stick to it?
Yes, and really? He just ripped it off and didn't tell anybody. He goes, Mom, it left red on the pole.
Did he say, Mom, my tongue was stuck to the pole?
He's so tough.
I had no taste buds left.
Was his tongue bleeding?
Yeah, he just... ripped it right off and went about his day.
Man, I wish he was here. That would be the best wild of the week we could have.
I did think about that. I've done it when I was a kid.
Boys,
I won't ever
even
do it
if you know better, it's still like maybe it'll be cool.
I'm going to tell you something that's very difficult for any man of any intellect level, and that is not trying something that even though you know it will be painful or hurtful, you gain a stitch of bravado or some curiosity is depleted by trying it, because I don't think there's a man alive who has not licked a cold pole at one point.
Noah
has not. And let me just reverse that.
Oh, Jacob.
We'll end this conversation.
Oh, boy. I should have used the other example, and that is where you got to put your tongue on the 9-volt battery.
Yeah.
Everybody's done that before as well.
I fell for that all the time as a child.
This is a family show, but I can promise you I am not going to live that last comment down. Hey, we got lots of exciting stuff to talk to you about, including what grows all around you that will end up as a pizza. What? This is Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
If your temperature's not rising, listening to Raised in the Woods, you're listening to the wrong show. This is Raised in the Woods. My name's Joel Clayfish. Sarah Morenas is filling in for Ellie Lawton this week. Are you having fun so far?
I am. If she's not careful, I'll steal her spot.
We'll see when it comes to the recipe time, though.
Yeah, yes, that's right. Very few people are able to dazzle us with such exquisite.
She has me beat there. I won't even throw my
multiples,
hat into that.
Multiples.
Field to table.
Yes.
Chef Lawton is on top of her game, no doubt about it. Mike Kretschmer is here. Lynn Morris is with us, who is a culinary expert in her own right. And of course, Jacob's in the fishbowl running the joint. Jacob, do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, Joel, I'm having a great time here in the studio. I'm fixing all the audio. I'm making you guys sound as beautiful as you are in real life.
Oh,
we appreciate that.
I think you're talking specifically about my good looks, right, Jacob?
Absolutely. Yes. Even if you didn't have a comical cowboy hat on, I would still think
comical.
Ouch. Those are fighting words.
This happens to be an all wool 4X American cowboy hat, Jacob.
I like it. It looks pretty cool.
Joel, right. He's uncultured. He doesn't know.
I'm like Kermit the Frog. I'm not classy or cool.
Oh, man, we're having a great time talking about all the things you can do. And this week has been ice cold.
Yeah.
But at least it's making ice for those of us who have had to wait to get on the water ice fishing this year.
Maybe even our friends to the south can get on some ice. The last couple of years down in Illinois, they had a hard time. My cousin lives down there, and it's just a... It's real sketchy. So hopefully he's actually down south now. When he gets back, he's planning on fishing. So hopefully they'll have good ice in northern Illinois.
Yeah, and I know somewhere they do have ice is in Canada right now. This week throughout the Midwest, the All Canada Show is bouncing around. Had a great time. Was able to stop by there and talk to some of the folks who are participating in the All Canada Show. And really think about it. Canada is not even a far drive for any of the states who can hear Raised in the Woods. So I'm gonna jump out. We are expanding the show Raised in the Woods to several states. We changed the name of the show, and we're trying to make it a little more, we're trying to make it bigger and better. And one of those things is going out and getting interviews with folks. I talked to some of the folks at the All Canada Show. Jacob, why don't you roll one of those little clips we have? What's up, everybody? We are at the All Canada Show. This is Raised in the Woods. I'm Joel Clayfish. You know, it's nice to step out of the box. We're covering the entire Midwest now, which is fantastic. In two of our states, brand new to Raised in the Woods, Michigan and Minnesota, they border the beautiful country of Canada, our neighbors to the north. And have they ever got a myriad of things to head up there and hunt and fish? And Ken Gangler is at the All Canada Show here in the middle of the Midwest, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for the week. Ken, how excited are the folks from the Midwest when they talk to you about what they can do in Canada?
Oh, super pumped up, super pumped up. It's a natural for them to come up there. And so many of them, of course, have grown up in northern Wisconsin and Minnesota. So it's kind of the ultimate for them.
You know, we love on this show to talk to folks who are just getting into hunting or just getting into fishing. Is Canada a great option for somebody who may be new to a sport that they don't know a lot about?
Actually, yes. You know, last year I had a guest who was just like that. He came up, did a caribou hunt, then went into a moose hunt, moose bear hunt, and was very successful. And he's probably in his early 60s, and he's converted.
A lot of times folks are literally afraid to go to another country to hunt. Now, our neighbors to the north, the Canadians, we've always gotten along pretty well. But it is tougher now to get across the border than it has been in the past. Do you find that to be a problem, or is that something that is fairly easy to deal with?
Actually, I put through with my fishing operation and hunters, I put through last year over 600 people. I had one issue, I think, where a person had an old charge. But other than that, we had no issues at all, zero.
So is there to expect? You know, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, we've got beautiful outdoors here. What are they going to expect differently about our neighbors to the north than what we've got here as far as fishing and hunting?
Well, the resources are so spread out and so untouched that compared to in the States, like I grew up fishing northern Wisconsin, it's just untouched up there. I mean, we have 18-mile-long lakes up by us that, you know, we fish maybe 4 or 5 days out of a year. That's it. The hunting the same thing. Particularly Manitoba is very, very stringent on how they allocate tags and territories. So really the resources are extremely well looked after.
Well, that's great. Appreciate you talking with us. The All Canada Show went on last weekend, but I'm sure you can find a lot of those folks who participated online. And we'll go back to the fishbowl on Raised in the Woods. Yeah, that was nice. That was fun talking to Ken there and talking to all the folks up there. And it reminded me of my awesome hunt in Canada with Mike Kretschmer, who's on the panel with us today, a frequent flyer to the program. I have to say, that was, do you remember the details of my hunt?
Oh, yeah.
That was the hunt that I kept knocking an arrow. Yeah. A bear came in and I knocked an arrow on my, knocking an arrow means you put an arrow on the string and you're ready to draw it back. What I didn't do, it was, and this is a lesson for everybody, I didn't realize I purchased those light up knocks. They were the wrong size for my string.
Correct.
So I put them on the string and the bear is in front of me and the arrow fell off and fell down the ladder. Tink, donk, tink, donk. And the bear took off. And I thought, and I was sitting in the tree next to my buddy, Jim Burnclaw. Yeah. And he's like, you just blew a once in a lifetime opportunity. Well, I'll be damned if that bear didn't come back and I knocked in another arrow and it fell off again.
We laughed. We had a couple beers that night laughing our hinders off of that story. So the knock actually stayed, but the arrow fell off the knock, so it was too loose.
Yes, that's right.
We had a good outcome, though.
Is that a lottery system for a bear? Or are there more bears in Canada where it's different?
There are a lot more bears per area and fewer people. So there is not a lottery system.
So it's more encouraged.
Oh, yes. Bear hunting in Canada is absolutely awesome. We're going to pick up on the final to that story, but that is very exciting. Then Sarah Marina says a fantastic home slice of something you can do at your house. This is Raised in the Woods. Raised in the Woods is your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the Midwest. My name's Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Sarah Marinas, Mike Kretschmer, Lynn Morris, Noah Morris, and Jacob in the studio, back running things from the hotbed of activity at Central Headquarters in Gotham City.
Oh, boy. A.K.A. Racine, Wisconsin.
That's right. That's right. Hey, man, you know what they call Racine Danish Kringle in Racine?
Kringle.
Danish Kringle. Oh, my goodness. We're talking about the old All Canada Show and our neighbors to the north and opportunities there. And one thing that's fascinating to me is bear hunting in the Midwest is run by a lottery system.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Sarah brought this up. And in Canada, it's not. You purchase a license. As long as you get through the border, purchase a license, you can hunt a bear up there. And there's a lot more of that resource. I was up there, had an incredible hunt up there with Mike Kretschmer, who's on the panel today. My good buddy, Jim Burnclaw, was sitting next to me in the stand, and this big, beautiful bear came in. And I put the arrow on the string, and it fell off, plinked down the ladder. Bear took off. Then the bear came back, put another arrow on the string, and it fell off too. So I ended up taking off my release. And if you're not familiar with archery hunting, a release is a leather strapped you put on your hand with a device on it that hooks onto the end of your arrow to make it easier for you to pull your arrow back and more consistent than just using your fingers. Well, that was not a choice for me anymore because I realized unless I held on to the arrow as I drew the string back of my bow, it was going to fall again. Yeah. And I didn't want to blow this chance. And at the time, my buddy Jim's leaning over to me going, you have screwed everything up about this hunt so far. You will never get chance number three. And I looked at him and it was like life was in slow motion, you know, the old Bionic Man, you know, and I pulled it back with my two fingers and I aimed and I shot the arrow by hand, holding the arrow onto the line and made the perfect shot into the bear.
Yeah.
And in a very ethical shot right through the heart and We had one heck of a celebration.
Is it the bear on the floor right here?
No, it's the bear on the wall right there. Right behind you.
That was like 300-ish, right, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a 300-pound bear. A nice big one. Missed the Boone and Crockett record book by a quarter inch. Because they measure by skull for Boone and Crockett.
Yeah,
for
those. Canada's a little different with that. So the resorts up there all have an allotted area that they're square footage or square mile, well, kilometers up there, right? So they can...
A radius.
Yes, a radius that each resort has or lodge, and then they get X amount of bear tags for those for that time and certain area. So if one outfitter can't go into another guy's, so if they're running baits, you know, they're not fighting with each other. They each have their own areas, and you bait them with gummy bears and whatever and whatnot up there.
Is that why you love these so much?
Yeah, right. He's a bear himself.
We didn't have Chef Lawton has the week off, and we didn't have our weekly food segment ahead of time. So I brought Krabby Patties.
Where are we going
for
with
everybody
that?
To eat? Yeah, there you go. I brought Krabby Patties, one of my favorite snacks. They didn't sell real big, but I love them.
Yeah, these will outlive all of us.
I have to say, though, when we got that, we harvested that bear, and I love to take black bear and cook it and eat it right away. I think it's one of the best eating wild game meats. Now, I'm going to share with some folks something that I hope will help educate you if you do harvest a bear. At that time, I did not realize what high-risk, unfully cooked bear presents with trichinosis. So that's that is a bacteria that exists in some bears that can be harmful, if not deadly, to humans if they don't cook the meat all the way through. And I remember I cooked the steaks from that medium rare and we ate them and they were delicious, but I didn't know about trichinosis at the time.
Mental note.
I got out lucky. So make sure to cook your bear meat all the way through. And Mike, you know, trichinosis is something we've heard of in pork products.
Yeah, it's getting to be less and less, but that's why they tell you to cook your pork products. Well, it's down to like 160 now, I believe, but I still like the 175 to 180 on most of my pork. I mean, if you do it right, you can still have a juicy product and be safe with it.
Yeah, I think that that is very good advice. And I want take my experience as a learning experience, because I remember eating that, you know, medium cooked bear meat. And then afterwards, someone said, you ate it medium? You're going to get trichinosis. Yeah. So then, of course, I did what everybody does and
you
started researching
funeral.
It on the... Yes, on the internet. And I was sure I was going to get trichinosis and die. And here I am about 15 years later, still alive. So I made it through that gauntlet. But make sure to handle your meat products very carefully. What are the meats you got to worry about cooking more, Mike?
It is definitely pork, chicken. I mean, turkey. But I'm a beef eater. I love my venison. I eat a ton of venison. And I eat a lot of beef. I mean... I do sell all of them, but I'm a big beef. We do even do some bison and some elk products. A lot of elk product in the States, if it's farmed, it's actually red stag. Little inside.
Yes, a lot of people don't realize red stag is European elk.
Yes.
Really?
So
I didn't know that.
Yep. A lot of it comes out of New Zealand. And
what
there
about
are some
parasites? I thought bears had problems with parasites. Or is that just Alaska?
No, bears can have parasites. And I believe trichinosis is
from
a parasite.
The fish.
Is it not?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You can get worms, like tapeworms and stuff.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, I know a guy that didn't know. Gross story, but he was a guy in Alaska, and he said he had like a 6-foot tapeworm from eating so much salmon up there.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did he?
I would love to have him on the show.
Of a 6-foot tapeworm.
He just
kept pushing.
Yeah, number two.
Oh, boy. Now, I heard that in the old days, if you had a tapeworm, they'd put a bowl of warm milk in front of your mouth.
And they'd come out.
And you would just sit there with your mouth open until it crawled out of your
mouth.
Could
you just sit in a bowl of milk until it came out?
I guess. Well, I know milk baths were very popular.
Yeah. Really?
Well, I know they used to give people baths of milk and honey back in the day. I've never tried it myself. I don't know if I'd like to test the water displacement theory with that much milk and honey.
Yeah, that... You can come out with a story.
It would certainly come out with a story.
So when you were at the All Canada show, did you see people from all over, or was it just Ontario, or is it all over Canada?
Well, I was most interested to see that the vast array of folks who were there as outfitters for fishing or hunting were Ontario. And okay. I think that that's probably logical since Ontario's the place people in the Midwest can drive the easiest.
I mean, from Milwaukee, I've done trips in 9.5, 10 hours. I mean, I've gone all the way up to Red Lake, and that's been, I think, like 12 and a half hours. So, I mean, it's not horrible. If you leave early in the morning, I've left at 3:30 in the morning, made it straight through, and you're fishing by dark.
Have you been, Sarah, have you been to Canada?
I have not.
Yeah, we talked, your brother had you.
Yeah, my brother and my dad.
How come you never tagged along with them?
They never invited me. Well, so I'm going to have to invite myself now.
I think you will definitely have to invite yourself. Let's listen to a clip of an interview I did at the All Canada show. My name is Joel Clayfish. I love hosting this show because we love to help you get into the outdoors. And I know, folks, I know in the Midwest, when the hunting seasons are dwindling down, deer season's over in a couple of our states. You know, we've got Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa now. It gets tough. And until that ice is great to get out there and ice fish in later February, what do you do? Well, that's when a lot of the shows come to the Midwest. Right now, the All Canada show is in Milwaukee, and I'm zipping around it, checking it out, and I ran into Robert Watson's of Watson's Windy Point Lodge, less than 10 hours from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, right in the center of Raised in the Woods listening folks, and I'm talking to Robert right now. If you can't get out and fish at this moment, it's no better time to plan. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, we love stepping out of the box on this show. We love talking to you about traveling to other states, other countries to fish and hunt. And we've got our certified acclaimed chef, Ellie Lawton, who brings you those amazing dishes. Well, one of the nice things is that we're literally connected to another country that you can drive to, and that's Canada. So at the All Canada show, you can talk to folks who literally are driving distance from the Midwest, not far at all if you live in Michigan or Minnesota, not that far if you live in Wisconsin, Illinois, or Iowa. Robert, you guys fish, you hunt, and I got to tell you, I'm blown away at really how cheap it is to get up there and have a life-changing, life-altering experience.
I think that's one of your advantages coming with us is I'm a third-generation owner operating in Canadian funds. So right now you're saving almost 40% on your exchange rate. Coming with a guy like me who lives it, breathes it, I'm not somebody who bought a lodge. I've been doing this my entire life. You want to go fishing, hunting, we're there to take care of you as a third-generation owner.
I know you guys are very high on making sure that your species are protected as far as numbers. Canada has always been huge on conservation, maybe in my opinion, a little too stingy in some cases. But what that means for a hunter who's going to hunt a bear there, they're going to have a pretty damn good shot at getting one if they come up, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the fly-in lodge, you're not going to know the pressure of somebody who's able to drive in. We bait for 6 weeks. We've ran 100% success rate since we're 12 of the last 15 years. We've gone 100% successful. So by not having the roads, by doing the proper baiting, knowing exactly what your animals would like, we offer a very successful hunt. Most guys are done on the first day, and you get to fish for the rest of your trip.
What advice do you give somebody who's never hunted before or they've never had a successful fishing outing before? Is heading to Canada, which can seem a little daunting, it's another country, is that something they should consider? Somebody who's not experienced out there in the outdoors, someone who's listening to a show like Raised in the Woods and thinking, gosh darn it, those guys get me excited about it, I'm going to try it.
Yeah, I think the important part is do your homework, check the history of the lodges, and you know, ask them for some basic information. Stay away from the news and just, you know, ask the people coming to the All Canada show, talking to the owners, talking to the people who've done the shows, ask them for referrals. I think that's your best piece of advice you could do. And, you know, come north. Your dollar is great. Everybody's welcome to come up, and it's just a great trip all around.
What I have to say is, you know, we have this thing in the Midwest. We hear it very often, the friendliness of the Midwest, nicest people in the world. I think that translates into Canada. What I've seen at the show is literally vendors saying, if I can't give you what you want, go talk to this other vendor. There's very little of frustrating competition here, more of an attitude that you guys would like to get all these people to come experience the country to the north.
Yeah, like absolutely. Like I walk around, I find out that I don't offer everything that somebody else does. We're a fly-in lodge. Not everybody wants to take a float plane. I am more than willing to share because you never know, somebody might be looking for a fly-in trip. This is a great industry to, you know, you never know when you need somebody else's help. And it's, you know, you treat people the way you want to be treated, and you're in this for the long haul.
I appreciate it, Robert. And one of the cool things to me is that living here in the Midwest affords so many opportunities to see what's out here. And the convention centers throughout the five states in Raised in the Woods territory really have some fantastic opportunities, even when you're not outside ice fishing or hunting or foraging. It's a great time to go to some of these conventions, check it out, and learn about where you can go, because I'm blown away at some of the prices. And remember, think about the fact that, you know, wherever you travel in the world, usually the dollar is less than their dollar equivalent currency. If you go to Europe, the euro costs you $1.25 for 1 euro. You go to Canada, it's the opposite. Your dollar is worth more than their dollar there, which means it stretches quite a way. I also get really a kick out of the parts of Canada that are still French speaking and French, which is really cool because I get to practice my français. And poutine, man, can't go wrong with gravy and cheese curds on French fries, can you? Oh, that makes it the cooking segment. I can't wait. Sarah Marinas is stepping in on that. And Lynn Morris is chiming in too. This is Raised in the Woods.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Raised in Woods is your number one stop for how to take the outdoors indoors, and my favorite way to do that is by cooking something from the outdoors that you've gathered or harvested yourself. My name's Joel Clayfish. I'm hosting this show alongside Sarah Marinas, who's filling in for Chef Ellie Lawton. Mike Kretschmer is here. Lynn Morris is here, a culinary expert in the state of Wisconsin. I'm really excited about, I'm going to give some props to Chef Lawton. I don't know that there's anything we could do that would be as good as her cooking segments.
She's amazing.
Simplifying the fantastic food of the outdoors, taking it from field to table. But Sarah Marinas likes to practice a little homesteading from time to time. And she's got kind of an exciting thing to talk about this week for our cooking segment. What do you got?
It's going to be a different kind of field, not one that you're going to hunt on.
Well, let's hear it.
So I'm talking about a wheat field. When I became a mom, and I have four boys now, nutrition and quality of meat was everything to me. I don't want my boys eating processed meat and hormones in their milk. And if they're going to eat pizza and cheesy breadsticks, I want it to count. So I read about the nutritional value of wheat if you mill it yourself.
So you mill your own wheat yourself. What on earth is involved in that?
Well, first, don't be scared to fail, because you're going to fail. My first year doing it, I went in my backyard with a pickaxe and I'm like, I'm going to grow it.
That did not work. My husband came home. That didn't turn out great, I'm guessing.
And he was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm growing wheat, because it's the best. If you eat it, it grows where you live.
Okay.
And okay. I got wheatgrass that year. So that was it.
Well, did you just make wheatgrass smoothies then?
No, my kids thought that was trash.
Okay.
And they're like, we're not eating grass.
Well, what do you do if you're the average person and you want to mill your own wheat?
I buy it on Amazon.
Wheat on Amazon.
Wheat berries. So don't wheat say wheat. Berries. Wheat berries. And it's going to look like rice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you do with the wheat berries? And what part is the wheat berry?
Well, the part that looks like rice. I don't know.
Oh, it is. It's the flour of the wheat. So
which is why it's
what
flour
grows. Mike, you look perplexed.
I'll keep it moving. And so I bought an attachment. I didn't like that. So I just splurged for an actual wheat mill.
A mill, little grinder,
it's pretty big.
Okay.
It's like a foot and a half
And it's
tall.
Electric.
Yep. And you pour the berries in the top and you turn a little knob and you get flour on the bottom.
And is this an expensive proposition? See, when you're doing this.
No, not in the long run. But the hardest part about it is there's so many different types of wheat berry. When you go to the grocery store, you just get bleached, unbleached. That's really it. Or whole wheat. You can get a hard red, a soft red, a hard white, soft white. Einkorn is the most ancient grain.
Okay.
And so...
But you're buying these organic, you know what's in it.
Yep, you know the farm is coming from.
They haven't been processed.
Yep.
You're making your own wheat at home.
And it's higher protein, fiber.
There's protein in wheat.
It's high protein.
Really?
Yes. That's why I cook so much.
That is what everybody's, Mike, isn't that what you hear? I mean, yeah. Lynn, don't you hear about people going, they want to increase protein in their diet?
Mill your own wheat and make your pancakes. If you try Einkorn, do a waffle, because your first couple of times it's going to be like cooking with sand.
Really?
All of this is trial and error. So if it's a high gluten, you're going to want hard wheat. If you want more moisture and lower gluten, you're going to want soft.
Okay.
And you just have to play around with it.
So is that where whey, like whey protein, or is that?
No, that's whey milk. Comes from that's milk. Milk.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll stick to meat. I'll show
but
up.
But good guess over there, Mike. So you mill your own wheat, and I'm guessing your grinder will tell you if it's, you know, you set it for fine or coarse.
Yeah, I always do fine. And then I'll do pancakes, pizzas, and cheesy breadsticks. Those are my main.
Tell me about the cheesy breadsticks, because I don't think there's a person out there who wouldn't love to try milling their own wheat and making a healthier version of a cheesy breadstick.
Yeah, I go between a recipe for pizza dough or just regular bread. And then you just roll them out and then plop your little cheese stick in and just keep rolling it until it's in the inside.
So it's just wheat and water, or what are you putting in the
yeast.
Wheat?
I do put yeast in it.
Yeast, water.
Yeah, because it's not, you can do sourdough and then you don't need your yeast.
Okay.
But
I know that's a huge thing right now.
I was just going to say, just bring me the loaf of sourdough.
Yeah,
with
if you do sourdough, I still feed my starter with store-bought wheat because it grows a lot faster. And then once your starter's ready, then I'll add in my milk.
We're going to do a different show completely on sourdough, because I feel
all breads.
I can teach you how to do that.
I feel like the breads are going off the chain right now, and everybody's selling sourdough starters, and I don't have a hell of a clue.
Mine's 17 years old. Mine's the best.
Yeah, Ellie has a name.
What's?
Ellie, I forgot what her starter's name is.
They name their starters like people name their deer.
Big, yeah.
I think that's very silly.
But just
love sourdough.
Yeah.
Raised in the weeds.
Raised
good
in the
one.
Weeds.
We could talk. I could talk about it for an hour, but just start. And if you fail, that's okay. Oh, the biggest thing is it takes longer to absorb the liquid. So when you can't make this in a rush, when you make pancakes with store-bought wheat, you can mix everything together and cook it. You have to give it 10 minutes to absorb all of the liquid, and you might have to put more liquid than what your recipe calls
really?
For.
Really? Okay. Well, I know what I would do with it. I would take either duck or goose breast and grind it 50-50 with goose breast and beef fat, beef tallow, which we now know is incredibly healthy for you. And then I would add fennel and garlic salt to it to make a fantastic sausage. I'd make sausage rolls, just like the old-fashioned sausage rolls, with take the wheat, add a little flour, or take the wheat flour, add a little of the starter to it, a little of the yeast and water, roll it out, and then roll a sausage in the middle of it and cook it and make sausage rolls. That would sound awesome to me. Man, I love it. I really learned something. I had no idea there was more than one kind of wheat that you could make flour and bread from. That's awesome.
That's cool.
That's why this show will teach you something. I guarantee it. Laugh along with us. Check us out on the internet, civicmedia.com. Search Raised in the Woods. We'll see you next week on Raised in the Woods.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.